Let's talk some hockey, shall we?
Let's do it.
So much basketball. Let's talk some hockey. Jay Hahn joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at jhahn4. That's H-A-H-N. Jake, of course, the co-host of The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL, co-host of NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast as well at NHL Fantasy. Jake, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. I like all the tweets today. I especially like Hobbs and Kelly's tweets. Those were the top tweets that you read, although there were some other good ones in there as well. Only thing I know from basketball last night is that Timothy Chalamet picked the Knicks game over the Met Gala. So another thing that me and Timothy Chalamet have in common, it's a long list now of things we have in common, picking sports over our girlfriends or wives or whatever it might be. So he gained a couple more points in my books last night.
Such a great call. His girlfriend did go to the Met Gala, by the way. She went.
She did.
She had what is was being referred to as a nude dress. It was not nude, but it was like the coloring makes it seem that way.
I'll get to the bottom of it.
It's my Met Gala analysis for you as well. What was it? What was it specifically about those two tweets that you love? Don't ask that question.
Wait, did you guys catch the Timothy Chalamet manspreading situation from the other game in the last round with Tina Fey?
He was
boxing her out.
He was encroaching.
Yes.
Oh, that's not good. Never like
big thing online.
The encroacher on an airplane. Not fun.
And there was there were some pictures to back it up. Yeah. Wow. Dial it back, Chalamet.
Come on, Chalamet. Know your space. Stay in your lane. All right, Jake. Let's start from the beginning here. Are the correct eight teams in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs? You believe that these are the eight teams that deserve to be here?
It's a good question. Always a good question to ask because obviously a lot of years ago, you might get one or even multiple teams that just sort of sneak through, maybe get a little bit lucky. I think if you're maybe looking at one, it might be Montreal in that series against Tampa Bay, but it's so hard to call that team lucky. They've been really solid all season long. I think it's really just game 7 of Montreal Tampa that stands out in a lot of people's minds where they only had 9 shots on goal. They set a record for fewest shots on goal to win a playoff game, and it was in a game 7. So just a frustrating loss for Tampa, but Montreal led more of that series than the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I can't call them lucky. Tampa just never really got it in that series, and Montreal got great goaltending, and you have a great goaltender this time of the year, and Dobish just playing well. You deserve to be in the second round. So I really can't look at a team here and say that they don't deserve to be here. Anaheim is maybe a bit of a surprise, but they took it to the Oilers in most of the games in that series, particularly the games in now. We haven't had a chance to see that between them and Vegas shift to the pond yet. But they got some great energy from that home crowd. Haven't been in the playoffs for a long time. So to answer your question, Gil, I would say yes, we probably do have the best eight teams from the first round advancing into the second round here.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about the Montreal call, but hey, great goaltending is a tried and true staple of the Stanley Cup playoffs for sure. This segues into the next question in tonight's game. We have a standalone today between the Wild and the Avalanche, game 2 of that series, with the Lanch up 1-0 after their 9-6 win in game 1. Let me just ask you about the Hurricanes who won last night and the Avalanche together before we get into the specific game with the Avalanche and the Wild today, which is the next question is, I mentioned this yesterday, so the longest streak of wins from the beginning of a Stanley Cup playoffs in deep into the playoffs is 9 in a row to start. The 1985 Edmonton Oilers of Gretzky and Coffey and Messier and Anderson, Grant Fuhr in goal. That team won 9 in a row to start the 85 playoffs on their way to the Stanley Cup. Like, Hurricanes are now, after they were down 2-0 to the Flyers last night, they come back, they win it in overtime. They won their first 6 now. And now the Avalanche are trying to win their first 6 with a game tonight at home. That would be 6 in a row for them. Those two teams in general, do you feel like we could get one of them to 9? Will we get that? And then how do you feel about tonight's game?
I honestly wouldn't be surprised with Carolina getting there now because of what we saw last night. Gil, you mentioned it. You know, Flyers get that 2-0 lead. That's exactly what the Flyers needed last night. Carolina had not trailed in a game all playoffs long. It had just been so easy for them. So they hadn't even really gotten punched in the mouth yet. And Philly comes out, does so. Carolina responds. They come back. They still win the game. That felt like Philly's moment. Now that series does shift to Philadelphia, where they should get some great energy from that home crowd. So I could possibly see a sweep there. I'm still going going to give the Flyers and Dan Vladar a game and probably see Carolina winning that in five. But ultimately, just looking at these two teams, Gil, and I hate to say it because I'm always looking for value. I'm always looking for dogs. It really does feel like we're heading on a collision course for these two teams to play in a cup final. Now, the one I could see maybe getting tripped up is Carolina in a conference final. I think the winner of Buffalo and Montreal will put up a pretty solid fight in that potential conference final series. I think this is Colorado's toughest opponent that they're going to face. And if they find a way to sort of breeze through Minnesota in five, maybe six games, I don't see the Pacific Division winner offering too much resistance to what this Colorado Avalanche team can do. And the Avs catch a bit of a break here. The Minnesota Wild, who you guys know I loved in that series against the Dallas Stars, they kind of limp in. They're already down the middle of the ice at the center ice position. Colorado had the edge, and Minnesota's down their number one center in Joel Eriksson-Ek. He missed the first game. He's going to miss tonight's game as well. That they're already fighting an uphill battle against this team. That's one player they cannot afford to miss. So I could see this being a Colorado. I'm still gonna give Minnesota a game. Heck, maybe even two games if they can get the goaltending. But I see Colorado and I see Carolina both advancing.
Any play on tonight's game between the Avalanche and the Wild?
So a couple props I want to look at here, guys. I mentioned Joel Eriksson-Ek with the Minnesota Wild. So that does offer up an opportunity. We just saw a wild game. You mentioned it, Gil. 9-6 was the final in game one. And it was just a high event game. Look at the shot totals. It's not something you see very often in the NHL, certainly in the playoffs. Ryan Hartman is getting that first line center role right now with Joel Eriksson-Ek out, which means he's playing with Matt Zuccarello and Kirill Kaprizov, two guys that can free up a lot of space. And Hartman, if he gets the minutes, has been a guy that's never afraid to shoot the puck. He had seven shots on goal in that first game. He's plus money for three tonight against Colorado. I'd expect that to continue at that same spot in the lineup. You could even maybe flirt with going 4 or 5 if you want to ladder it up a little bit and sprinkle on those to see if he has another game similar to game one. I'd look at the save prop for Colorado's goaltender, assuming it's going to be Scott Wedgwood tonight. It's sitting around over 24.5. I do think Minnesota is going to fire some rubber over Colorado's way, and he seems to be up to the task. And maybe Gil, a contrarian play on the under in this game after such a crazy game one. I'd wait till closer to puck drop to see where this gets. I think want to bet the over here after what we saw in game one. If it's getting up close to seven, I'd see some value on the under here. So that's a wait and see one for me, because I do think that these teams will want to tighten it up a little bit after a pretty messy, sloppy game one.
Real quick, 30 seconds before the break, the other game last night, the Golden Knights beat the Ducks in game one of that best of seven series. The Anaheim Ducks, they tied it up late, but then Vegas comes right back and gets the go-ahead goal. They end up with an empty netter to make it a 3-1 final. Should that have been icing on the go-ahead goal, in your opinion, Jake?
It's a judgment call by the official on the ice, but for me, I say yes. I do think that it should have been icing, and I thought Anaheim caught a bit of a raw deal on that one. You saw how ticked off Coach Quenneville was behind the bench. He was not happy about that one at all.
Angry.
But the judgment call, he made his call in the moment. It's sort of a bang-bang play, so you kind of have to live with it if you're Anaheim and keep playing.
I don't know how Golden Knights are doing this. I don't know how they got by the Mammoth. I don't know how they're up 1-0 here. We'll ask Jake if they have any shot if they have to play the Avalanche. And Conn Smythe thoughts next. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, producer number 9, so much more than a producer, Kelly Bidelon.
Hey-o.
Hey-ho.
Starting a fantasy hockey league for the rest
not.
Of the playoffs.
No, you're not.
If you want to join, Gil, okay? Like my first draft pick, Scott Wedgwood.
The names you're discovering?
Yeah, discovering. Yeah, right now, yeah.
Michael Kettler. Thank you for this, Michael. He says, first time tweeter. The tennis plays are not posted, but believe it is a one-day occurrence. Love the show. Cheers. Thank you, Michael. Michael Kettler, the voice of reason. Coming down from the rafters. PK Mountain Steel he's got about four tweets here, but he's amazed that I'm staying away from the Cavs Pistons. I think that's the takeaway. J. Judd O'Connor, Tim's girlfriend wearing a new dress. Kelly then says, I'll get to the bottom of it. No stone left unturned during this 3-hour window.
You know,
we cover it all here.
You know what I was a little sad about yesterday? We didn't get more reaction to our hard hit. I mean, look, I know people get the audience have gotten used to Brian Ortega with his hard hitting movie breakdowns. I thought you and I did a fantastic job yesterday in the final segment
of
breaking down movies, ones that people should see.
Oh, yes. Yes, we did.
Just there was very little reaction to
our most childish segment ever.
You should have a good time.
You know, you should really go see Charlie's Angels. You should really rent the Charlie's Angels box set. Charlie's Angels,
we didn't bring that one up.
Yeah. Jesse Welch, fellas, we have a super cheap 6.5 total in the Wild Avalanche game tonight. Call me simple, but my hockey betting this season has been about 90% Minnesota Wild overs, and I'm going right back to it. So, Jesse, on the other side of Jake's thoughts on that, Jake going contrarian. Manny Davison, we got an explanation on MLB sponsoring PGA guys. What's up with bowling sponsoring the NHL playoffs? Who's funding this? Oh, I didn't even notice.
What? I'm getting to the that's even
weirder than Stephen A. doing a, what's it called? Car Shield. Car Shield commercial. Seriously, how much is Car Shield paying? Ladies and gentlemen, Jake Hahn, kind enough to join us for a second segment, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Again, JHahn4 is where you can follow him on Twitter. He comes to us from Toronto, Canada. The T-Dot. The 6. That's all I got. I'll stop. Okay. Let me.
I want more movie reviews, guys. I want the movie takes from you guys. So maybe deeper into the playoffs. When there's a little bit more time, right?
Can I tell you how excited I am to see Michael? Like I have it. People don't. If you're of a certain age, Jake, this is just us talking here. Like these kids don't understand how big Michael Jackson was and how when I was obsessed with this guy. I was obsessed. I speak for millions of Americans. I cannot wait to see this movie.
We're both so excited, Jake. We haven't gone yet. Oh, my God. But it's been out for like a week and a half.
Right. I haven't seen it yet either. It's funny. My 18-year-old nephew saw it before I did. Him and his buddies went to see it. And I'm like, what are you up to tonight? He's like, yeah, I'm going to the movies. Huh? Oh, what are you seeing? He's like, yeah, me and the boys are going to see the Michael movie. I thought, really? I didn't take 18-year-old kids for going to do that. And he said he liked it. He said it was a good time. He said it was very informative for somebody that didn't really live through that era.
Oh.
Good for your nephew. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that either, but an 18-year-old going to a Michael Jackson movie? Yeah, like he had no idea who Michael Jackson is, probably. Barely.
For those of us who are Michael, who are big fans, you know how people, everybody remembers where they were when JFK was assassinated of a certain generation? Like, the night that he did the moonwalk on Motown 25? Like, ooh. This was just like a seminal moment of our childhood. That's how, just, I can't exaggerate it enough. All right, back to hockey for a second. I left by talking about the Golden Knights. Golden Knights, it's amazing that they're here. They've won multiple games now that perhaps they shouldn't have, but somehow figured out a way to win in this short playoffs thus far. And here we are. They're up one game. Let's say they meet the Avalanche. Just to project forward. I know we're way projecting because there's only one game in. Do they have any shot against the Avalanche, in your opinion? And then if we talk about the East, and we haven't touched on this series yet, but Buffalo and Montreal, which has yet to start. So we're going to have two series that are two games in before Buffalo and Montreal even start with their series. Does the winner of that series have any shot against Carolina, in your opinion?
I think the winner of Buffalo and Montreal has a much better shot against Carolina than the winner of Vegas and Anaheim versus Colorado. That's how I would look at it. I just felt like the East all year has been fairly wide open with a lot of really good teams. And that Atlantic division, which is the side that Buffalo and Montreal would be coming through, is a really, really strong division. It has been for years. Now we've seen some different teams this year than maybe previous years where we've had teams like the Florida Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs involved. So there has been a, you know, maybe new blood in there in the Atlantic, but they're still very, very strong teams. I would give either of those teams a very good chance against Carolina and maybe expose some things with the Canes that we haven't seen exposed yet, that the teams that they've faced yet haven't been able to do so. Obviously, we still have to get there, but I do assume Carolina is going to get through Philly. This is as close of a series as you're going to get between Buffalo and Montreal. It's a very tricky one to pick, but I would give one of them a very legit shot in that conference final. Whereas I look at that Pacific versus the Central, I've been pretty steadfast all year, Gil, in saying that whoever makes it out of the Central Division is going to make the Stanley Cup final. And I haven't seen enough from Vegas yet to change my mind on that. They're finding ways to win games. Carter Hart has stabilized the goaltending a little bit. I think he's been average to above average, which has been good enough for them to win these games. games, but they just look too slow to me to go up against a team like the Colorado Avalanche. Even Anaheim was exposing that a little bit last night. I thought the Ducks were the better team for large chunks of that game, ultimately came out on the losing end. So I would assume Colorado, maybe Minnesota, if they could pull off the crazy upset here in round number two, they would be headed to the cup final for me.
Sabres, Canadiens, what's your hunch on that series? Where do you lean?
This is so tough. And obviously you see the price there, -110 for both sides. I would agree with that pricing. I would basically say, shrug my shoulders and go, you guys pick, you guys figure it out. I think it's good. I think you're going to see ebbs and flows to this series. It's going to be a great one to watch the energies in both buildings. KeyBank Center for the Buffalo Sabres, obviously not having a playoff game for a very long time, now getting to win a round of playoff hockey, and the Bell Center in Montreal is as good as it gets. I'm very curious to see how many Habs fans can infiltrate the Sabres arena here, because they do a good job of that. They do it in Toronto, they do it in Buffalo, but Buffalo is really good now and everybody wants to go to the games in Buffalo, so those tickets might not be as available. I'm very curious what those games in Buffalo do look like. I'm going to lean towards Montreal here, guys. I don't see enough value on the pre-series price. I think you could be able to jump in at a better price as the series goes on. There's just something special about this Habs team, and they just find ways to win games. I love how Dobish is playing between the pipes. So I am going to lean Montreal, but not a strong take on this one. I think it's going to be very, very tight. I could see it going seven games.
It's great. We're just excited, Kelly and I, to see non-clashing hockey sweaters, classic man. Hockey sweaters, as opposed to the Ducks and the Avalanche and the Golden Knights. Good God. Good God with these color patterns. And again, Canadians.
This is much better goalie, or sorry, a much better jersey battle.
Yes,
here. And I hope Buffalo wears the black goat head jerseys at some point in the series as well.
You said you like those a lot as well. Yeah, those are.
I do. It's I feel like some people are on the other side of it, but I like the black goat heads.
Sabres had not been to the postseason since 2011. Canadiens trying to be the first Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup since 1993, when the Montreal Canadiens did it. Okay, to the question of the Conn Smythe Trophy. Now, I say this not for Kelly, but for everybody else, because Kelly knows this.
Obviously.
That the Conn Smythe Trophy is awarded annually to the most valuable player during the entirety of the National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoffs. You knew that. Nathan MacKinnon. Usual suspect, is a short shot here, is the short shot at +475. Then you have a couple of Hurricanes there. Frederik Andersen and Logan Stankoven right there, +7-1 and +850. Kale McCarr then of the Avalanche at 9-1. Everybody else is double digits. Jack Eichel is the shortest among the Vegas Golden Knights, he and Mitch Marner. What's the bet here, sir?
Well, you can definitely see how the Habs got to the second round, judging by the fact that the only name you see on that board is a goaltender in Jakub Dobish. So if you're looking at Montreal, you probably are looking at him. I know I said I lean Habs in that series, but I could certainly see Buffalo winning it. I wouldn't be shocked. And then if that's the case, I could see them giving Carolina a pretty good series in the conference final. Alex Tuch is way down at 50-1. He was 100-1 before the postseason started, and he was somebody I really liked the little sprinkle on. Number's been cut in half. I still think a very fair number if you want to get in on the Buffalo Sabres. But if we're looking at the top teams, guys, if we do assume it's going to be Carolina and Colorado and you want some value on those teams, I think I would look down the board on the Carolina numbers. Stankoven, Frederik Andersen, very deserving for where they've been. Stankoven's been carrying that team, that whole second line, and Frederik Andersen's been really good between the pipes. But I would look down to a Seth Jarvis there at 35-1, who hasn't had a huge impact yet on this series, did score a big goal last night. He had a couple assists in round one. That first line is going to have to show up at some point for Carolina. They only have 6 wins of a possible 12 needed to win this whole thing, right? So that's kind of where I'm at. Or sorry, 16, 6 of a possible 16 wins. So they still have a long way to go before they could win the Stanley Cup. I do think at some point Seth Jarvis is going to have to show up, and a little bit of a dip on that number where we have a lot of games to go for Carolina's. Jarvis at 35-1, Alex Tuch at 50-1 would be a couple I would sprinkle on right now.
Kelly, no love for your guy Scott Wedgwood.
No, I mean, I love him, but
I don't mind it.
Yeah,
Jake doesn't. His family invented golf.
You don't mind it. Okay. By the way, last Conn Smythe Trophy winner from a losing team, of course, Connor McDavid with the Oilers in 2024. So we don't have to look that far back. It can happen if you're that kind of player anyway. Thank you, Jake. Always a pleasure, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, guys. Jake, take care.
Jake Hahn, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a guy that I met on a forum board many years ago, like a decade and a half ago, we can almost say at this
point. Wait, really? Have I heard this story before?
I don't know if you have.
I don't know if I've ever heard how you and Mark met.
Yeah, we met on a forum board. He will corroborate this. I immediately knew this was my kind of guy, and it evolved into a relationship where then we were such dorks, we would try to like invent metrics at spring training games while Sweet. Watching spring training games because we're just nerd balls. It's Mark Borchardt, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him at BaseWinner, basewinner.com. And of course, he's got his own BetUS, not his own. I always say it that way. He's part of the BetUS baseball show, which is weekdays. He joins us now from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. How you doing, Mark?
Jill, I'm doing good. You know, I think when some of the metrics that we made up are actually coming to fruition. There's so many metrics now that I think that like we're in a state from a handicapping standpoint where there's too much data. And so I think we're struggling to kind of narrow down the data. And it wasn't like that when we could use E minus F back in the day, right? E minus F was great, but now you can't. So
E minus F alone, talk about ERA minus fielding independent, that alone could make you a winning baseball better back in the day. It really could. Like if you just went with that, you almost directionally would have a winning baseball season. What was that ridiculous stat that you and I were trying to come up with about managers? We wanted to quantify managers' willingness or unwillingness to give their starting pitchers leash. And when we developed an acronym for it, what was it?
LL Cool H.
LL
Long
Cool
Leash
H.
Cool Head.
That's right. LL yeah. Cool H. It never caught on.
The one we did make up, it was expected fielding independent defense. And yes. I think that exists because they're doing like, you know, how fast a guy gets to the ball and then like, you know, what percentage of times this is catch. And so they do run saved off. So they actually have that. You kind of got to go a long way around it to distill it, but there is expected fielding independent that we envisioned back in the day, way before StatCast.
Yes, so. We did. We used to laugh at ourselves because we're like, this will never be a thing. All right. So I just want to do a little update here. Four games into May. Last night, the 0-3 Seattle Mariners, our Mariners, were down 4-0 to the Braves. And then Stevie Fezzik, like clockwork, texts, this bet has no chance. There's no way they can come back from 0-3. And they're down 4-0 in the game. And all of a sudden, because he texted that, the Mariners exploded. 5 runs to beat the Braves yesterday, 5-4. We're off the schneid in May. Yankees, Rays, Royals, and Cubs, not to mention the Pirates at 3-0, but the Yankees, Rays, Royals, and Cubs start out the month at 4-0. So, like I said, getting swept by the Royals, not good for the Mariners, but you win 2 of 3 from the Braves, or goodness, if you sweep them, all's forgotten, because that's the hardest team you got to play the whole month. How do you feel about the Mariners as a team in general? Man, they are frustrating to watch offensively.
Yeah, they are. You know, I had them last night, so I'm like high on them right now. But if you're looking at them in the standings, they're 17-19. Expected numbers are a lot better. They should be 20.5 and 15.7. And you're looking at like an offensive production that's 3% better than average. But the XFIP's really good, a 93 XFIP. Which puts them like in the top 5, I think number 5 exactly. And then defensively, they're still pretty solid, a 10 runs defensive save. So I think, you know, for me, Gil, and I've been saying this and making bets that don't hit on this Mariners team, but I think that they might be the team that's going to face the Yankees in the ALCS.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you about them, and hopefully they can get it together in this month because that's where our bet is. It doesn't help that you have guys like Rivas in the batting order, which are just like batting order stoppers, where you're like, you know, good God.
One of the things that's going to hurt that bet is that they lost Brash and Spire. So two of the really good high leverage relievers, they're out for I don't know how long, but it's going to affect that monthly bet, Gil. And then Raleigh's like, I mean, he's listed on the default lineups, but I don't expect him to hit tonight. And so I think he's more day to day, and I think he's probably more not day to day.
What did you land on today?
Today I think I'll start off with the parlay here. Base winner parlay, going to go Philly and the Dodgers, and it's a little bit of a plus bet on the parlay. It's +128. Both pitchers, like Ohtani's, like the numbers are really good on him. You're looking at a 34% last 17 median strikeout percentage. BBK is elite. Stuff plus is 97th percentile. And then he's going against a guy named Peter Lambert. And I don't know. I think the guy has a good name for an English actor, but the numbers really don't justify anything. So they're at -225. This is one of the things where my model kicked out -200. And I don't agree with my model. They're going to kind of be a renegade today, Gil, and go against the model. That's the first leg of the parlay. And then the other team, the Phillies, I like this game at -219. It's in market right now at like -185. Sanchez is the number six pitcher for me, and he's another guy. You got the elite BBK, you've got stuff plus and 98 percentile stuff plus. And then one of the things about him is he doesn't give up a lot of home runs. It's 1% per plate appearance home run rate. And then if that's not good enough, you got a 0.28 per plate appearance total bases, which is the lowest on the card, I do believe, today. So it's Philly and the Dodgers in a parlay today, Gil.
Okay.
As the parlay.
By the way, it's Elder against Kirby in the Braves Mariners game. Mariners slight favorites in that one. Mark Borchard with your parlay of the day and a joke about British actor name out of central casting as well, thrown in there as well.
He would be like, he'd be like in the remake to Escape to Victory. Do you ever see Escape to Victory?
No.
With Michael Caine and Pele. Sylvester Stallone was in it.
Yeah, Victory it was called, I believe.
I thought it was called Escape to Victory. It could have been Victory, whatever, but dun, 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 the theme was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I do have a straight play for you if you guys are interested in that.
I am so interested. Yeah. Yes. What do you got?
This is kind of like, you know, the numbers are really even. Like if you look at the starting pitchers, the bullpens, the offense, everything's really even, but Toronto's getting a little bit of, you know, plus money. So plus at 118 with Toronto on a game, which I think's even. And I like Gausman a little bit better than Rasmussen. I got Gausman 37 out of 150 guys and Rasmussen 46. So I think that this is an opportunity to do a coin flip game, Gil, at a plus money price.
You guys are annoying with your trivia expertise. I just went to go look it up. Victory in the United States escaped a victory in the United Kingdom.
Wow.
So how about you both get me right? How about that?
Wow.
I was sure I was correct about that, but apparently I was only domestically correct.
Domestically correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Good for you. He's more of a Renaissance. He's more of a cosmopolitan guy.
Impressive. Kid.
Mark, real quick before you go, by the way, any other plays today or can I ask you a broader question?
Oh, you know what a good one is? And just real quick, the Pittsburgh-Arizona game, I like the over. I've got it projected for 11.9 runs. I don't like either pitcher. I'm not a big fan of Bubba Chandler, at least not yet. And then Erod, other than the beautiful start that he had in our Venezuela bet,
yes.
I think that's going to be the peak of his career. And so over 9, and plus they're going to open the roof here in Arizona. It's beautiful weather, and that'll help run production, Gil.
Yeah, we're having beautiful weather here as well. It's only going to last for a little while longer. So there you go. And over at Arizona, open roof at Chase Field, the over on 9 in that one. Mark, what are your top three and bottom three teams right now? I hate to put you on the spot, but I'm curious by your numbers. What do you have right now?
Dodgers, Yankees, and I would say, it's a close one between the Braves and the Mariners.
Braves and the Mariners. Wow. All right, that corroborates what I'm thinking in the month of May. It really does. And then bottom three?
Bottom three would be number 29, Nationals. Number 30, still the Cardinals. They still haven't gotten a jump, which baseball hipsters are going to be aghast, Gil. And number 28, the Colorado Rockies.
So Cardinals worst is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's really hard to evaluate that offense because they just don't have a lot of body of work. And their offense is, for me, the worst in baseball. So I get, you know, and it just goes to show you how hard it is to handicap, because the Dodgers went in there on Friday night. And I thought, oh, that's the best play in the world. I thought that it was priced affordably, and the Cardinals right. got him. So, you know, even in the best team versus the worst team, it's a difficult sport to handicap. Y'all.
It is. Cardinals got him a couple times, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? A couple
they
times.
Did. Yeah. Yeah, they did. Yep.
Mark, if it were easy, we'd all do it, right? So that's the puzzle. It's the puzzle and the life we've chosen. Escape to victory outside of the U.S. Victory inside the United States, starring the great Sly Stallone and Michael Caine. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Mark, my pleasure, Gil.
Mark Borchardt, everybody. Coming back on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Smarter bets start here and last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, get our annual subscription, normally $240, for just $199. And when you sign up today, we'll throw in 2 extra months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro for less than 50 cents a day with promo code PRO. Get access to our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all of our special edition betting guides for every major sport throughout the year. Adam Burke does such a great job with the staff on those. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code PRO. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Kelly and I were just debating off air with the AL Cy Young Award short shot. What would be the worst thing that you could possibly mess that up with? And the conclusion was is that there's a bad side at the beginning of it. There's a bad side at the end of it.
Yes.
So if you had a hiccup in the middle and you said both things, that would be the worst.
Could be problematic.
Yeah, the kind of things we talk about.
Could be problematic.
Well,
also, I feel bad, by the way, about A. Brown. Like, he's been tweeting into the show for years. I didn't know he was Owen's high school trainer. I didn't know that you guys had that connection.
Well, he didn't know. He didn't reveal that.
Oh, okay.
He didn't reveal that for a while. I don't believe. Down in Jungle Land, correct me if I'm wrong about that. But he did recently. That's
kind of blowing my mind today.
We had tweets at Beating the Book. Jason H11, bartending in the Caribbean, more like making maple syrup at Chance Copper Pots, Vermont Pure Maple Syrup Factory. 3 Jacques, H3131. Gil is a WWE/WWF watcher in my early days. I remember Ted DiBiase, a.k.a. the Million Dollar Man, always said everyone has a price. Wes Reynolds will confirm. Las Vegas, 514, yo. Coming from someone who had been dealing with bones over 20 years, I imagine he means bone spurs rather than bones. Because we've all been
dealing with
bones.
Let's see where it goes, Gil. Let's see where it goes.
Did you know bone spurs are not sharp, pointy, or spike-like? They are smooth, rounded bumps of regular bone. You are welcome. Thank you, Las Vegas. Wow.
Yeah, but it still, deviates from the smooth part of the bone, right?
Well, speak for your bones.
Deviates, if bones can deviate.
Bobby Geddes, a little late here, but as the self-proclaimed bowling aficionado of ANG, I've also been very confused by the Go Bowling ads during the hockey playoffs. I've bowled my whole life, and I don't think I've met one hockey/bowling person. You should go to the South Point. They're all over the place down there.
Just thinking that, man. There are a couple things I don't know if miss is the right word, but when we talk about movies and you and I haven't been to the movie theaters in forever, it would always be the people walking by with bowling balls. I'm like, how'd you go bowling? It's right upstairs. It's gorgeous, too.
It's gorgeous.
State of the art facility up there.
And South Point hack, the food is less pricey up there as well.
That's true. And they got an arcade.
Was it Sean McCollum who used to try to get the popcorn scam?
Oh, no, it was not Sean. Oh, gosh. Someone's going to have to help me out with that. Maybe Wyatt.
Wishnev tried doing it, too.
We did have audio ops, though, that would get this is worth telling because they don't work here anymore. Yeah. At a lot of movie theaters, if you buy the big tub of popcorn, they'll let you go get free refills.
Yeah.
So we would have audio guys that would take the tub of popcorn, eat the popcorn, and save it for the next day, and then go back and get popcorn the next day.
I miss the South Point. Last one before we get to Paul, because we got tons of these. Michael Burns, didn't have Kelly Bidley suggesting Gil become an amputee for money on today's show on my bingo card. Keeping it real, fellas.
Just saying, if someone's offering you, they're offering you a lot of money. I'm listening.
We got more, but we got to get to Paul Carr. Paul Carr joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. Paul joins us now to discuss not only the Champions League, but also a little World Cup, if we can squeeze it out of him. How you doing, Paul?
I have all my limbs, and I have no intention of selling any of them.
Okay, let's get that out of the way.
Get here.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, settle that.
Let me ask you this from the beginning here. What's going on at the top of the prem?
Ugh.
What's going on?
Here's what's going on. I played City to win the title before the season at +320, and they are now +320. So we've played 34 games and got nowhere on that bet. But yeah, City, I mean, it's the same thing that's been happening all year. Arsenal has left the door open for Man City, and they just refuse to walk through it. The defense, you know, just not quite up to snuff. The attack's been fine, but they're kind of the opposite problem of Arsenal. Has a great defense, and their attack is kind of sometimes. So City just does not have any interest in grabbing that trophy.
Okay, so but now I have to. Okay, I'm not going to quote somebody. I'm going to do a hypothetical quote from the Arsenal fan who used to be the valet in my building until he crashed a couple cars and is no longer working there. But if I said this to him, if I went home today and I go, Arsenal in the driver's seat, the first thing out of his mouth would be like, there's no chance we're winning it. We're totally going to blow it. There's no way. Do you buy into that?
I mean, just from a narrative standpoint, that's like Arsenal's just going to make the collapse even more dramatic. You know, they had this collapse a few weeks ago that made this a real race, and now it looks like they have it in hand. And yeah, the Arsenal fatalists are all going to say they're going to go to West Ham this weekend, a relegation threatened team, and somehow lose that contest, and then City will be right back in it. So that's definitely the Arsenal mindset right now.
Okay, man. Sorry about your ticket. It looked like it was on the doorstep, but that's how it goes.
Yeah, they were up 1-0 over Everton yesterday at half, right, Paul? And then gave up three goals in the second half. And then Paul and I were texting about this, and then teased us by drawing the game.
Right. Scored two in the last 10 minutes to get a point. So, you know, not as bad. They're still, you know, hanging around. +320 for City title now.
I want you all to win this bet. I'm a little amused at how outraged Kelly is getting about this soccer bet. I can't believe this is not going our way.
We've been sweating this from the beginning, and we caught all the way up. Like Paul said, we were right there.
You have a tough act to follow here, Paul, namely that of Paul Carr, who gave us that over.
Yeah, that guy.
That over in the PSG game last week, which was done by halftime.
And the red card the week before.
That was a Felica / Carr collaboration. We have Champions League today. We got Champions League tomorrow. What are you doing today? Arsenal and Atletico.
All right. Yeah, second leg. First leg was 1-1 in Madrid. I mean, all these second legs are always a little tricky just from like the numbers. You can almost throw the numbers out the window, and it's more kind of, all right, what does each team have to do and how are they going to do it standpoint? But I don't see much changing for Arsenal here. I mean, they've played 5 knockout games in the Champions League this season. All 5 had fewer than 3 goals. All 5 were under 2.5 non-penalty expected goals. So that's, I really expect the same thing. Under 2.5 goals, -110. Regardless of how this goes, you know, whichever team scores first, assuming there is a goal in regulation, I think we'll just kind of park the bus and try to hang on. That's what Arsenal's done all season. Atletico, not quite as much as they used to, but I think that's what they would do here. So yeah, under 2.5, -110, it's a little square, but I think it makes sense. And I'll add, this is a 90-minute bet. So if it is 1-1 and goes to extra time, you're winning the bet. I've noticed at least one book has started a lot more separate bets, including extra time or overtime. And that those numbers will look a lot different. So -110, under 2.5, that's your standard 90-minute bet.
All right. PSG and Bayern Munich round number 2, if you will, inside the semifinals. Bayern Munich from?
Das Bundesliga.
You're going over again, over 2.5.
Over 2.5 in the first half. And here's why.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's why. If you watch the game, it was obviously breakneck speed is for the first hour or so, and it really kind of slowed down in the last 30 minutes. PSG got a 5-2 lead, and they tried to just kind of sit back and defend, which they're not very good at because they never do it. And Bayern got a couple goals back, and it ended 5-4. So I do think at some point in this game on Wednesday, one or both teams will decide to slow down, and whether it's sit on a lead or grind something out. But I don't think that's going to be in the first half. First half, both these teams are going to do what they do, which is attack. I mean, Bayern has to attack. They're down a goal. PSG should be attacking or counterattacking because that's the way they play best. So I think the first half, at least, will look a lot like the game the first leg did. So I have over 2.5 first half goals at +215. You obviously get a good price on that. Again, should be open early, may get tight late, when, you know, it's squeaky bum time, as the English like to say. But I think they're going to have a lot of goals early.
Squeaky bum time. Real quick in your last 60 seconds here, Paul, because I like your explanation there. World Cup, again, we're approaching. We're 1 month away and almost a month
37 away. 37 days, I think.
37 days.
Who's counting, though?
Is there, we know what the first matchups are. Is there a game that you've already looked at? You're like, I'm betting that.
I really have not looked at games. I have a lot of bets scattered over groups and such and haven't dialed in. Rosters will start coming out in about 2 weeks, which will help, you know, just make sure, you know, somebody's not injured, someone's on the team. I can throw you one other one I played. Panama to advance plus 220 plus 225 range. They're in a tough group with England, Croatia, and Ghana. But Panama has a coach named Thomas Christensen, and they do very well against the U.S. and Mexico for the last several years. So they're not going to be intimidated. They're playing in their region, you know, in the U.S. and Mexico. So they're more used to the climate that these European teams are going to encounter. So I think Panama can steal a win against at least one of these teams. And a win and a not terrible goal difference will probably get you through. So I think they have better than a 1-in-3 shot of getting through. So Panama to advance. They're in Group L. Plus 220, plus 225, you should be able to find.
Group L. Wow.
It's a lot of groups.
Too
many groups. It's ridiculous.
A lot of groups. L. Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Feels like the first time I've heard that.
Fast forward like a half a century as well. Group Q. Yeah. Group
S. Oh, yeah. They're just going to have a 256 team tournament sometime.
Yeah. Paul, appreciate it. Let's go under today. Let's go over first half tomorrow in the Champions League. Appreciate it.
You bet. Let's do it.
Paul Carr, everybody. Right here on a Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.